The Board of Supervisors monthly meeting. We are back. We ran a little long on that break. It's 4:44, and we are on financial reports. Amy Franks has the floor. Monthly financial reports. A capital. And this, we're looking at one that says December 2013.
The one in your packet is the entire January financial report. So remember that check register did not get approved last month due to timeliness of the meeting and when the packets were received. So that check register was not approved.
Say it louder, Richard. Which one are we looking at? Okay, check register 12/19/2017. Say again where we're looking at this.
Well, we didn't get to it at the last meeting, so the January check register was not approved.
Okay, check number 19458, Circle B Enterprises, project materials. Do you know what, can you tell us what project that was for?
Yes, that's a fence contractor on a corrupt project.
Okay, I need to get the other board members on task. You are on the, this is correct.
Okay.
We're on page that looks like this. Richard?
Yeah,
you guys are on board?
Okay.
All right. So, how about Mason Conservation District planning crew charge? Can you tell me about that?
That was the crew that worked on the NEP grant, correct? On a planting project. They have a crew of laborers that does that kind of thing.
Okay. Native Plant Salvage Foundation Shoreline TA Workshop. So that must have been a workshop, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pacific Shellfish Institute Everyday Action Grant October Activities. What happened there?
They also did workshops in the Shellfish Protection District.
Okay. Some transcription. Whitlock Limited Partnership. $7,900. What rents are those for? December and January?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Are we done with the FCS group?
So as we move forward with our rates and charges process, that will be something that we'll need some of their services for.
So they're like ongoing then?
They're not an ongoing payment, but we allocated some funding to them. It'll be a discussion as we move forward about what additional services that they may provide throughout this.
I mean, is that payment at the end of the year, does that cover them for 2017?
Yeah.
No. Are you talking about the payment on here for $1,785, Richard?
Yes.
FCS Group is the one that helps us with the rates and charges. Puget Sound.
Ask me how much more do we owe them for 2017?
No, you asked if that was prep for 2018. So they bill on reimbursement as well. So that was their participation in the November 6th public hearing.
So then we don't owe them anymore for 2017?
Correct.
So they billed $1,785 for the November 6th?
I would need to look exactly at that invoice to see, but they did a lot of prep work throughout the end of 2017 to help us wrap up our rates and charges package. So that's one of the things that would be inclusive of.
Okay. Let me back up a little bit here. Check number 19482, Puget Sound Enhancement Group. Restoration Planning on Lower McLean. Give me an overview on that, please.
That was a planting project under the NEP grant as well.
NEP, okay. Shellfish Institute, November 17, Everyday Action Grant Activities, 3,096. What was on that?
Those are workshops. We partner with them in the Shellfish Protection District.
They were part of the 2017 Shellfish Protection District work program.
And then you have check number 19487, the supervisor of WACD lodging. That was for November, correct?
What number did you say, Eric? I'm sorry.
The last one on that page, 19487, WACD lodging. Like there's a supervisor there. I'm assuming that's for an ACD.
WACD.
WACD lodging. So,
yes.
November billing?
Right.
Okay. Any other questions on that page besides Richard? Okay. Then, let's see, Thurston Conservation District. Recollection detail, sorry if I'm not saying it right. Ending 12/31/17. We had a check to Grace Harbor Conservation District for 19424-2793. Is that the same planting, or what was that?
No, they did some engineering work on the Shankless projects grant.
Okay, that wasn't for our core replacement though. No, that was for something else.
No.
Okay. And then remind me who again William Townsend is. Is that a South Thurston County person?
Yeah, he's a CREP recipient.
Okay. And then Salix Solutions LLC. Alex?
Was our willow life stakes for a planting project.
Okay. Then we have another Mason Conservation District, 395162.
That was probably another engineering cost.
Okay. Can you just send me an email clarification on that one, please? FCS group, I think, is that the same check or is that a different one?
That's
the
same
one.
Okay. And then Wells Fargo remittance, that must have been is there a detail in here of that credit card?
Yeah, it's the last few pages.
Okay, I'll look at that in a minute here. Washington State Conservation Commission for 81-75-18. Tell me about that.
Where are we at?
Thurston Conservation District Recollection Detail period in, let's see, page 2. It's on the back of that.
Oh, that's a payment. That's a grant deposit.
To us?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you for the clarification. Sales receipt. Number 60541-28,845.
So that was the last assessment deposit. Well, we'll continue to get small assessment deposits like from late payers.
Okay.
But that was the
from late payers, really?
Yeah. And that could go back years, not just 2017. But this would have been the November collections from the assessment.
Unclear, okay, thank you. Unclear transactions of Whitlock partnership, so that just hadn't cleared yet.
Yeah, just unclear check.
Okay. Any questions, anybody? Chime in at any time. Second to last page, so
the are more than that. Four pages are the credit card.
So I know this is confusing, but there's the Thurston Conservation District Regulation page, however you say that, 11/15/2017, page one. And then the top thing is Fred Meyer.
Oh, uh-huh.
You go down to 12/8/2017, Les Schwab Tire Center. What do we do there?
One of the vehicles got tires. The white
flat tire.
Flat tire? So we put
no, this was $485.
Oh,
sorry. We replaced the tires on the white Ranger.
Okay, and that's still good. We're still running that one all over the place, right? That's
mm-hmm.
one inside of the undercover, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. What was the Casamia for 12/31? Is that on the day of the 12/31? Was that?
That was that. What was that big workshop you had with the Italian food?
That was the water rights workshop.
Was it billed later or something? Because it was on 12/31.
Well, so it would have been on the. It would have been on the next credit card bill, so it would not have been due till 12/31. That was maybe the date.
Was that the workshop in Yale?
Yeah.
Is it a, okay, or is it not too much of a hassle just to forward that to me, right? I mean,
like the copy of the.
Yeah, just show me the trail.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see here, on the next page over, 11/14/2017, so it looks like we're going backwards a little bit there. The window seat media, didn't we already discuss that? Was that our last one payment
yep.
to that?
Yep, that was the second of two payments to finalize our window seat media.
Okay, so we're done, D-O-N, and until something else happens. What about below that? Let's see here. Those are unclear. That's still uncleared, huh? Is that what that is? It's an unclear transaction? Total charges and cash advances, and underneath that it says total uncleared transaction. So we're showing that as an uncleared? Or?
Well, credit card charges wouldn't be uncleared because I just enter them. So I could see why they're showing as uncleared.
Looks okay to you though?
Yeah.
Okay. Natural rain, what's that? On the lower half. Credit card charge.
Under 231.17, right underneath Facebook.
There's a couple of them. There's one for 26.16.
Not the plant stuff?
I think that's supplies for Steph's program.
Okay. Want to shoot us an email on that, just for clarification? Hilton Garden Inn, or was that at?
That's Kennewick.
WCD?
Yeah.
That must have been for staff, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And any idea what we bought at Cabela's?
I don't recall right now.
Okay, we'll pass on that one. Natural green. What is paper tickets? Brown paper tickets. Well, tell me what that is.
Brown paper tickets is like an event purchasing website, like an event ticket purchasing website,
ticket master.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Those are all my questions. Anybody else? I don't hear many in the audience. Okay. That's all the questions I have. Do you have any more information for us, Amy?
Well, if you'd like to move and approve this check register, we could move on to the February one.
Yes, sir. Okay. Does anybody want to do a motion to move to the...
I'll make a motion to approve check register dated 1/25/2018 with checks number 19457 through 19487 totaling $111,047.24.
I'm sorry, will you repeat the total one more time?
$111,047.24.
Thank you.
Checks number 19470 through 19471 were voided because they were the wrong vendor.
Any second?
I'll second.
Any more discussion? Hearing none. Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Looks like it's unanimous. Okay, well, on the February check register, I did not get that. So I think that you sent it out in two.
Yeah, it came out the following day electronically.
I think the only thing I saw was I tried to look at it the best I can on my computer here. And I think I had a question. And I mean, do you have an extra copy?
Yeah, you can have this one.
Okay. And then can you have. Oh, yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Doug had a question for you that we need some clarification on. Would you like to ask for that? Doug,
well, that's a different subject than we're under financial.
Right. Because I didn't get a chance to look at this, so I was going to look at it real quick while you asked her, unless you don't want to do that.
Okay. Sarah, could you.
Sure.
Going back to board minutes review, could you give us which board meeting?
Even though it said December.
Yeah. Which board meeting, special or otherwise, which dates, so we can make sure we're all on the same page there.
About what we're covering for the March meeting?
Yes, which March meeting?
Right, so the March 27th regularly scheduled TCB board meeting, we're set to cover in the work session discussion on meeting minutes for the November 21st special meeting. And any associated work session minutes, we've been providing just a record that a work session happened, and so there's really no content in those minutes. There's more of a formality than anything to acknowledge that the work session did take place. The December 20th regular meeting, the January 9th 2018 special meeting, the January 30th 2018 regular meeting, all of the associated work session minutes. And as a reminder, staff are working on preparing abbreviated minutes for both the November 21st special meeting and the December 20th regular meeting.
We already have the abbreviated minutes.
Right.
Thank you. And
yep.
That's for the 27th of March meeting.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yep, I'm ready.
Okay, I haven't had a lot of time to look at this. I do have a question on some of this, though. I tried to look at it on my phone the best I could, and I didn't get it in the mailbox yet. I'm just going to ask you, 19512... Pacific Shellfish Institute, is that the same check or is that another action plan workshop series?
What page are you on?
It says 1 of 1. So if you flip the cover over the very first page, then the second front of the second page.
Okay.
Pacific Shellfish Institute. Is that from the prior month or is that another? It says 1/18/18. We'll say it's
These are from January.
19512. So is that, that's a, is that like a series we're doing or something?
Yeah, so this is the check register, but the bank statements we were looking at were the January statements, so it's the same.
It's the same, okay, thank you. So that'd be the same Grace Harbor Conservation District, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Same connection group, okay.
So those vehicles are leased from the WSCC?
Two of them are, yeah.
Uh-huh, and we own the other ones?
Yes.
What's it cost us a month in total on those leases? Do you have a feel for that yet?
The lease payments are about $230, $250, and then there's a mileage calculation as well, so it'll fluctuate a little bit month to month.
Any other questions here? On the queso, not a, I milk cows, not my wife does books. The Ocean Conservation District Recollection Detail, so I don't know how to describe it to you. It says page 1, 12, 25 p.m. at the top, 2618. When I was looking through this, here's that Whitlock Limited Partnership again. And then we figured out that was December and January rent. Are you on the same page? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. The top one. And then I thought I saw through here Whitlock Group again for half that amount. And I was, here it is right here. 12/29/2017. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, yeah.
So we have one that you said was through December and January, and then we have another one here. So
okay.
I just need clarification because it looks like a double bill, but is it probably not, though?
Yeah,
right?
Maybe the first one was behind November and December. I'll make sure we're on track with them.
Okay.
We may
have
paid ahead.
Okay.
Fine,
and then just give a detail for us and just shoot me an email if the rest of the board wants it, then that's fine too. Maybe just do the whole board.
Okay.
What is the action item, Mr. Chair?
Detailed billing for Whitlock Limited Partnership. There on the check register, there's 19476 for 2 months and 19506 for 1 month, and we just need to reconcile the months that those are for. Then a WACB 70596, 12/29/17.
It could have been
2018 dues, maybe?
2018 dues would be higher. It could have been registrations for the annual meeting.
Okay.
I can check on that one too.
I don't want to make too much work for you, but. Anybody else have any questions? Did you get any questions? Yeah, I'm going to take that as a no,
Richard. No.
No, we're doing that. Doug, no? Samantha, no? Okay, I'm done with my questions. You can answer them and we'll follow up to any outstanding.
Chair?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the check register starting date 2/23/2018, check number 1948-8 through check number 1952-7 to $107,372.76 with no voided checks.
Second?
I'll second.
I have a first by Doug and a second by Samantha. Any more discussion? Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Looks like unanimous. Okay. Thank you. I had some questions when in billing, since we're still under financial reports, So you went, Amy, you went and spoke, and was it November? And was that WACD, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then did they pay the district for you to do that, or that's you just did it, or just a question?
They asked me to go. I think I could be wrong. I think I billed some of the time to our implementation grant.
Implementation, okay.
And then WACD reimbursed all of my travel expenses because they asked me to go.
Okay. And then I saw when I looked at the overall time cards, there was a couple, 2 days, 3 days of prep for that. So that would be in the implementation too, or would we get reimbursed for that?
I think I did. We won't get reimbursed from WACD.
Okay.
But I think I billed that time to the grant. I can check for sure.
Okay. Okay.
So we actually have to bill that to the grant?
Yeah.
What is the implementation grant? I'm not 100% sure. Maybe Linda doesn't know anything.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a grant from the commission, and it can be used for several different things. We've used it for outreach, district operations. We've used it primarily for TA in the past, but we've had to kind of diversify that this year since we don't have rates and charges. So I'm using that grant a lot for my time.
Okay. That's sufficient. Thank you for the commission for paying for that. Looks like district 2018 district funding. A 2018 just. Oh wait. Oh, thank you for raising your hand.
Different one. Back on the financial thing. During the public comment period, one of the ladies said TCD can't pay its bill.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
The lady just left. She asked me the same question.
And Joel left. He said it publicly. So maybe we want to. Can we pay our bills?
Yeah. Who's that coming from?
I think my guess, I'm not sure where that is coming from, that we can't pay our bills. My best guess is that was during the end of 2017 when there was a lot of frustration around signing checks and some delay in our check process. That's the only thing that I can think of that would be a correlation to that sort of statement.
No, I wasn't giving it any credence. I just wanted to know, okay, like Eric said, can we or can't we? We can, right?
Yep, we can.
Okay, good. You're both shaking your heads.
I would share that, what Sarah said, and what we've seen kind of public comments of that speculation stemming from that discussion of we need the checks signed to pay our bills.
Do you think that maybe could be coming from staff side a little bit, or that would just be a public perception? I don't think the board would say that we can't pay our bills. So, no. Okay.
Yeah.
What about Cynthia asked for, I believe it was Cynthia, asked for a correction in that timeline of the rates and charges. Does the board want to come up with a community or a board statement or a district statement on what actually happened, because there's people out in the public saying this, and then there's she said she has heard three different sides of the story. What's the board and staff think about coming up with a public statement to clarify that?
Yeah, I think I think it would be great even for us internally as an organization to all be on the same page about some issues happened. Let's identify what they were, and these are the impacts. We're all clear in understanding that, and here's how we're moving forward to fix that. I think that would be a great statement to share back to our community, that these are pretty severe impacts. This is why we need this funding, and here's how we're going to work towards moving forward to acquire this funding in 2019.
Maybe the commission might like that too.
I suggest that be from the board, from the entire board, not just from the chair, not just from Sarah.
Right.
So it shows some unity.
Right. That's what I was saying, is board and staff. So how would we collectively come up with that? Go ahead.
I just want to back up. I thought that the clarification was about how that all happened, not where we're moving forward from it, but how that whole thing happened. And I think it's way late to get that kind of information out there because a lot of damage continues to be done with the various different stories floating around.
Well, I think it would help bring us back together more by saying what had happened and
yeah,
what we can all
totally
agree on.
Yep.
Go ahead.
The audience has gotten small, so I'm going to raise my hand here. The term, you know the term hot wash? It's like something that came out of the military, I think. Basically, when there's some kind of disaster, you go back and you figure out like what happened so that you can try, and it's not pointing blame, it's just saying what happened so it doesn't happen again. And I think that would be
like a hot wash statement or something?
Hot wash, yeah. Like after Katrina, they looked at, okay, what are the things that happened that led to all these problems, and what could you do so it never happens again? So it's a very constructive type of effort. And so, I don't know, that's just my suggestion. I would, because I know, I heard a lot of things said. I wasn't at that meeting. And I think it would be good to just have a clear idea, like, what are the different pieces that led to it? There people say that, you know, disasters occur where multiple things happen at the same time, you know, that happen all, maybe if a couple of them hadn't happened, it would have been okay. So just understand the process so it doesn't happen again, I think, as a constructive way, and that is a constructive way to move forward, to say, okay, here's the things where, you know, that now if we could, we would make sure that didn't happen again so it doesn't happen.
So what do you think? Can we do that collectively as a... Go ahead, Amy.
Well, I, you know, I don't like hearing public comments about the budget and what I do, so I've approached a couple of the people that have made comments, and I've held out my card, and they wouldn't take it because they want to hear a response from the board.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, I mean, what I heard, you know, in the last couple of months in my experience. So I think we can help craft some sort of statement and response, but it should be clearly delivered from you.
Because what I'm thinking is that, you know, we all have our differences, and there's some different direction that you know, people want to go, but as long as, I mean, we don't hate each other, or we all can have differences and still get along, you know, it just frustrates me when I think, when I come out of these meetings and think that we had a good meeting, and I feel the rest of the board says that, you know, we had a good meeting, as tough as it was, and then I hear on the public, or, you know, that we are, you know, yelling at each other and this and that and the other, when I don't feel that happened in that moment, you know. So, I mean, I would like to come up with some kind of board driven thing with staff agreeing to it and putting their input into it, and us all going forward. I had Richard first and then you, Smith.
Well, I think it's a really good idea, and that's the main question I'm getting from people, is they want to know what really happened. So I've actually been developing a timeline the way I understand it, but I think it would be good for all involved to get their input into it, to something that we can agree on, that then can be a public statement that could be on the website.
Go ahead, Samantha.
So I definitely think that timeline and issues that we've had, I think that we all need to take ownership for where our shortfalls are with regards to what happened with rates and charges, because if you look over the November 1st meeting minutes, it specifically states in there that we had all talked about there's a November 6th meeting that we're going to be at, and then I think that we need to basically collectively take ownership for the fact that, you know, what we, why we were or were not there, and however, you know, what timelines weren't fulfilled, what things could have changed. But I definitely think that we need to, I don't think it needs to be a blame statement, I just think it needs to be really an ownership statement, you know, because if we're going to push the district forward and redevelop healthy relationships with the community, which they're not right now, I think that we need to kind of admit our faults and just go from there.
I think that's good. I think it should be from the board. I'd like to see it maybe as an op-ed piece in the Olympia. It'd be a good idea.
I think, sure. I think there's a story coming out that's not going to be very helpful for all of us, so.
I don't know.
Yeah, if you
but
want
I
just
think
watch the paper.
Ms. Stewart said specifically no clarification for the public on what happened on the funding. Put materials out in advance online. Those seem like reasonable things to me.
Okay, so let's come up with a plan of action. Linda, are you
going
to suggest a plan of action?
Plan of action. What about you guys might have a, I don't know, we're just getting a timeline together. A lot of that happened before I was around, but if we got a timeline together and have it on the agenda, like maybe the first item when everybody is here to do the whitewash thing as
not
a dis-
whitewash, hot wash.
Oh, sorry. Wrong word.
Big distinction.
Big distinction. To do a hot wash where we can just have a discussion about the timeline and maybe, like they were saying, just each one of us make suggestions on how we can not have that happen again and just sort of talk about it in front of everybody.
So let's come up with an action plan to do this. How are we going to do it?
Well, I just said it. Well, somebody needs to write the timeline down, and then
Richard has one started.
Okay,
so
and maybe he can coordinate with
Sarah
to fill in any blanks. What happened when? Who said what? And then the agenda item will be to like kind of go over that, where we will each say what we were doing, where and when and why, and what we have suggestions for not having that happen again. And I don't know how that's going to work in reverse, because it seems like from my observations of the public comment, it's getting worse out there, not better. So something is keeping this fomenting. Something or someone is keeping all of that fomenting. So I don't know what this will do for that, but at least the people who care enough to come will see us addressing it.
I think it will just show the public that we're actually taking responsibilities for our actions or inactions.
Mm-hmm.
And answering their requests. They're showing up every month and asking.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe had a comment.
Oh, go ahead. Before me, for sure.
Something that I would like to see is us agree on some sort of timeline before we are bringing that to a public meeting to discuss.
Of course.
Rather than discussing it in a public meeting.
It makes things worse.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. But could that happen before the next regular meeting? The agreement on the timeline so we can not drag it.
How much public comment are we going to have at this, or how much public are we going to have here on the suggestions. I need suggestions. I'm trying to move this that way, but I need suggestions.
For?
To how to do it, how to facilitate, how to actually do it.
Well, it's basically going to be a letter from the five of us with Sarah.
Okay.
And potentially Amy.
Five of you.
Yeah, I mean, or specifically from the board, but with Sarah's influence and Amy's influence with regards to, like, the timeline and where we... or where it went wrong in the past and everything. So, I mean.
So you see it as a letter instead of a board discussion?
I see it as a statement from the board of Thurston Conservation District.
Like a one and a half page, 2 page max issue paper.
So we would get that done before the next meeting?
Big goals.
Yeah.
Could we, I mean, what is... do we do it in our work on it in our work session at all, or no?
It's a public session.
Not the one on the 5th. We have too much stuff going on already. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be here.
Okay, well, tell. Let's come up with a way to. Any suggestions from the BSCC over there?
Sure, you'd like to hear them.
Sure.
So, if Richard has something started, why doesn't Richard share that with Sarah? Sarah can add some more detail that she is aware of, and then circulate that back out to all of you for comment. And then you can reply to her, and then you can bring that to your work session on the 27th as a pretty close to being all the gaps fill document.
I'd like your input into it too, because you've been a little farther away from we have YC stuff that we don't.
I'm happy to help. I think you should definitely... I think it's a good idea to issue something like this, because you really need to put out some facts to to help with all the rumors flying around, I think you should attach to it the rates and charges RCW. Because there are things in there that are not optional. There are deadlines and things like that that are important for people to understand.
And then with that attachment, we can put our timeline out for this year's
the structure that you have to work under.
Well, that's why I wanted to suggest, you know, we do a small issue paper.
Yeah.
Because we're every, like Derek said, we're getting questions every day in meeting,
mm-hmm.
every good meeting.
Yeah.
And then I'd like to bring up that associate supervisor did a blogcast that you know, fried the district, fried Richard and I really, really badly, and spoke highly of you, Doug. You know, I mean, that was awesome. But
I haven't heard of it.
It's you need to go listen to it. And what is the board? I mean, we don't have. He says in his blogcast that he doesn't expect to be an associate supervisor anymore after what he said. But we don't have a, you know, any policies for removal on that. I mean, not that I'm saying that I want to remove him, but I'm saying it. If you look at the letter, if you look at the letter that we, most of us signed, that and working going forward, mm-hmm. and that we signed, most of us signed to go forward, is what he just did last week is 380 degree different from that.
So you guys do have a policy. And I'd like to point out, I think Richard's the only one who's got his policy book on the table today.
Look at me. Look at me.
So I've got a policy.
I'm looking at this stuff. There's a policy in there about associate supervisors.
There is.
So I think you guys are supposed to annually review your associates.
Sorry, we passed him out of bed.
So my concern right now is that we're talking about two different things,
mm-hmm.
and I think that we need to tackle the most important thing, which is the funding issue with the conservation district, and then, you know, move forward to look at the associate supervisor involvement. I haven't heard the podcast, but moreover is us going out into the public and saying, here's where the district went wrong, here's where the supervisors went wrong, here's our timeline to fix it, and this is our plan of action. Like, we have to have accountability and show that, like, okay, look, we messed up, this is what we're doing to fix it, and, you know, if people are going to place blame on the former executive director, well, she's our direct employee, so that's our fault. So it's one of those things that there's a lot of, you know, accountability that we have to accept, and to move forward in the face of the public, we need to have ownership for our actions and inactions of the district. And then, I mean, there's other things that we need to deal with, and there's always going to be a slew of other things that we need to deal with. However, I think we need to start with the budget and funding and then move from there. And I'm sorry, Joe.
I'm more than happy for you guys to talk before I...
So, the timeline for this whole thing is Richard's going to get with Sarah to get the actual timeline. We're all going to make comments. Then when is the letter going to be written by who in order to be ready for a plan?
If Richard, when are you able to send me your timeline that you started?
Soon.
A day, a week, 5 days, 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm still working on it, so.
Did you want to interject at this point, Joe?
Sure. A couple things. First, I think timeline doesn't necessarily have to be specific to on this specific date at this time, but maybe a monthly. But before that even, because I listened to the podcast and you have an associate board member that doesn't even understand why you decided to change from assessment to rates and charges, maybe an quick explanation of that. So if he doesn't understand, although he hasn't been to a lot of the meetings, but if he doesn't understand, how is there an expectation the public understands? I get this every single day, multiple times a day when I'm out campaigning. So why the change?
There's a district operations brief on that.
Yeah, I know, but nobody's looking at it, including the associate board member, I have to assume. So those are two, and then a third is that the timeline versus a position statement, as Doug said, I think a position statement is going to be, and then, sorry if that isn't exactly what you said, but I think everybody gets the idea. I think that's the ideal, because here's what happened. Mm-hmm. We're going to move forward, and even another little paragraph saying, here's how it's going to happen, because we got asked that question sitting here during the break is, mm-hmm. Well, how come that it haven't started it already for 2019? Well, it has been behind the scenes already started, and I recognize that, but again, the public doesn't come to the meetings and sit here and tell whatever Shauna said last meeting.
You have to be a diehard fan to sit through your board meetings. That's okay, I guess.
So I'm more than happy to, you know, add a lot of what we've talked about in terms of providing the raise and charges versus assessment language and some context around why the transition between the two, you know, including the impacts and what we're moving forward on in plans for 2019, you know, incorporating the components that Richard has to put in there and then sending that back out to the board for additional review and comment. If we want to try and turn this around by our March meeting, I think that's a tight timeline. I would definitely need to receive that information, that initial feedback information, sooner rather than later, if that's the goal, to publish that in March.
I'm thinking, Mr. Chair, two different documents. I'm thinking about an issue paper and then an explanation. The issue paper say at the bottom, and go to this link or go to this email to get a fuller explanation of the rates and charges and the who, what, where, why, when, how much. That's what I would do personally. Because that'll break it up a little bit, make it a little easier too, I think.
Go ahead. Yeah, I really think this is a great plan. I think it's, I think things that clarify and help the public understand the whole thing will help with the trust of the CD and move forward. The one little other comment I'd add would just, part of the response, I really like the comments about taking responsibility, and I think one way is when you're putting this together is like everybody tells their own story, and you don't try to say, I think somebody did something. You know, you're not trying to tell somebody else's story, you tell your own story. Because there are probably going to be different versions, and maybe you just have to lay that out, say, here's what I thought was happening, here's what I was thought was happening. And that's the only reality is what each of you thought was happening. So it may be a little bit self-contradictory when you're done, but that's part of understanding why confusion occurred and there were mistakes made.
So we have a good rational line of going forward there?
Yeah, I just want to, is the board's understanding that we are going to have this published at the March meeting? And if so, I just want to make sure that we are...
You can make an attempt to do it.
Okay.
You can make an attempt to do it.
Okay. So with the upcoming commission meeting and tour and, you know, South Sound Green Congress is also in March, one of the big items. There's just a couple of large events that the district is hosting, you know, the plant sale and elections this weekend. So just to be cognizant of that, and if we
want to move it up.
Yeah, by Monday.
if we want to publish it, we'll just need to receive feedback timely.
Well, it seems to me that sooner is better than later.
Absolutely. I think it's doable.
What, Joe?
Just quick, as I agree with Doug that sooner is better than later, mm-hmm. but maybe even saying the board is currently working on a position statement related to rates and charges.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Please stand by on the website, because everybody that spoke today questioned it.
What about putting...
Wanted to know an answer.
What about putting something in the paper?
I think we suggested a PSA. They want bucks, so to put it.
I think you...
Sometimes they do op-eds for nothing. On previous occasions, I've written them 5 letters on issues, and they've not published any of them.
I think maybe they come from Sarah, and maybe that would be a work, maybe, or not work.
How about posting something on the website?
Well, yeah, let's do that for sure, but I'd say put something in the paper. But
how many people need the paper?
What paper?
Yeah. 4 pages.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to put something on the website. I'm more than happy to put something on our social media about it. Something that I would really like to do to increase dissemination of information about rates and charges this year is, if any of you have seen the Clark Conservation District website and their webpage centered around rates and charges, there's just a lot of really publicly accessible information about it.
But fail, don't forget that. Unfortunately. But it's still a good
model. Not a good example there, but...
It's still a good model.
It's a good process.
They definitely had a lot of really digestible information about it that was easily accessible to the public, and so I'd really like to include that as we continue down the path for 2019.
Did you post the PowerPoint? Mm-hmm. Put that up for the public to look at?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very helpful document.
There are policies and procedures. It says that the associate supervisors by majority vote at a regular TCD board meeting. The associate supervisor appointments are reviewed annually at the January board meeting to determine whether or not the interests of the district are being adequately and properly served by the appointments. No set term for office associate supervisors. However, if the board and staff has not had contact with the associate supervisor for a period of 3 months, he or she will be contacted by the board chair to determine if continuing the appointment is appropriate or warranted. Actually, I did that with him. I asked him if he was, we hadn't seen him for a long time, and asked him if he wanted to continue or not, and then he started showing up a little bit more. The board chair or executive director will also annually notify associate supervisors in writing to reconfirm recruitment request or commitment or request resignation. Associate supervisors serve at the discretion of the board of supervisors, and the board may terminate the appointment of the associate supervisor at any time. The board chair or ED will attempt to contact the associate supervisor if schedule an interview before termination appointments. If the associate supervisor does not respond to 2 attempts to communicate, the social supervisor is unlikely terminated on his or her request. So I suggest maybe you guys go listen to the blog if you can stand it.
How do we find the blog?
Well, Rich will send it to you.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to volunteer to send it to Sarah.
Okay.
Sean asked me as well.
Okay. Maybe you want to listen to it.
I'm sorry?
Maybe you want to listen to it too.
I haven't listened to it.
Okay, so, and then maybe you have some discussion on it at a meeting that's appropriate. Any other? We're on, and there was something else I was going to say and I forgot. Anything else? Anybody have anything else before we go on to budget? Hey, I'm right there with you.
Feel better now.
Oh, okay.
A deep breath.
I thought that was a sign. Okay, A, 2018 district budget revised.
All right, so.
Is that this?
We finally have some more words besides just numbers for the budget. I think we finally landed on the numbers that will carry us through the year. We had a lot of changes in the past couple months.
Just as a reminder, this is the typical annual budget that's provided for adoption review and adoption by the Board of Supervisors. And given our unexpected budget shortfalls at the end of last year, you know, I just want to remind everybody that we agreed on providing these sort of working budgets and updating as the budget did, so that we saw that again in January, and now, like you said, that we've landed, you know, we were able to invest time to put forth this more robust budget document. Sorry.
That's fine. So, yeah, this has some more, like, terms and definitions that are used throughout the document, and our development process and the goals we have for the year. And then there's just some more words, narrative about all of the revenue and different expense categories and that kind of thing. So really what has changed from last month to this month, a couple of impactful things came out of the Chehalis work group. We thought we would get some more funding for farm pads, but that was redirected to counties that actually allow farm pads. So we will not have that funding for work in our county. But the Shellfish Protection District Work Program was almost fully restored to its full capacity, so that's good, and that's reflected in there. And we got some pretty solid numbers for Chehalis outreach in our county, so that's in there. We got a better idea of CREP, and then we got quite a bit more money for livestock plans and TA, so that's in there as well.
From the Conservation Commission.
And was that fence inside and outside the Shellfish District? Or because it
livestock TA?
Yeah, because ultimately it goes to water flows downhill. So.
I had that same question.
Well, tell me again about that farm pad thing.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. So, initially.
That was a lot of money, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was mostly project costs for engineering and developing, designing a permittable farm pad in Thurston County, with some funding to also facilitate discussion about permitting farm pads in Thurston County. And so Kathleen originally started that project, and a lot of discussions with Thurston County about working together with the ag community to build critter pads like you can throughout the rest of the Chehalis Basin, right? Except for in Thurston County, where they're not permitted. They follow a really strict zero-rise analysis policy in the floodplains, which essentially equates to not being able to permit those farm pads. The funding then was to design a flow-through style farm pad, and so after, you know, sort of getting some preliminary design ideas and discussion with Thurston County, the farm pads that looked like they would be permittable were essentially raised concrete structures on pilings in the floodplain. Not only were they triple the cost of traditional farm pads, they were also, we went back then to the landowners that were in the floodway in the Chehalis Basin to discuss those sort of new technology designs, and they were not interested in that. So traditional farm pads are just essentially high mounds in your pasture. They can still be grazed. And
so the ones on pilings were, so the water could flow through?
Yes.
Okay, that sounds like a FEMA derivative to me.
Yeah.
Because FEMA, they like stuff like that.
Yeah, and so the Thurston County is really interested in maintaining the FEMA rating that we get for flood insurance for Thurston County, and so that's their justification for their
NFIP, National Flood Insurance Program,
permitting or not permitting for farm pads. And so going back to those landowners, they were not interested in implementing those really large, costly structures that would take up that much of their pasture. Thurston County was very particular about the usage of those structures only being utilized in instances of flood and not for any other purpose, like storing equipment any other time throughout the year. It just really didn't turn out to be a very attractive project for anybody involved. So then we asked the granting agency, can we then redevelop the scope of work for this to do other flood mitigation projects, other conservation projects in the Chehalis Basin to mitigate flooding on ag lands? And they said, no, we really want to invest in farm pads in the Chehalis Basin. And there are, between Lewis Conservation District and Grays Harbor, they still have a waiting list of folks to fund farm pads. So we're going to pull the money and put it over here. That's in a nutshell what happened.
We didn't know that up front going into all that?
That we couldn't permit farm pads?
Yeah.
We did. So the money was to invest in essentially dialogue with Thurston County about how we could work together to come up with a creative solution that would benefit these landowners in this area, to see if we could come together and to do that preliminary design work for another style of farm pad that would fall within their FEMA rating.
So how much money did we spend doing that?
I don't know off the top of my head.
On the projects?
No, on the farm pad. Grant specifically. We can get back to you on that.
How many stuff do you know? 10,000?
Just on the RCO one?
For the floodplain authority to do the...
We were reimbursed by RCO, but it was like $3,200 last year. $3,200.
The original thing was big, wasn't it? I mean,
The majority of it was for implementation of that.
Yeah, it was that was like $450,000. Right?
It was, yeah.
Well, I hate to see that go away.
I think everyone does.
Ballpark, from my position on the Ag Advisory Committee, ballpark, how many farmers were interested at that point, or ag owners were interested in Thurston County?
Yeah, so I will say that Kathleen Berger is the lead on this project, and so she has all of the direct communications and all the information from our community listening sessions with that. I would say probably the highest priority need, so folks that were not only interested but also in the direct flood way, not just in the flood plain, I would say probably 10 or less in Thurston County.
Because the county commissioners have asked the Ag Advisory Committee to review ways to make it easier for farmers to farm in the county, and I think that might be something that I'll throw at.
That's a good point.
I certainly think that's some support that the Ag Committee could provide is
because this is going to be an ongoing for multiple years in the future, so if we can get the county to take a second look at that, maybe that's worth.
Maybe Kathleen could supply us with some data, figures, whatever.
Absolutely.
Sales pitches.
Absolutely.
Because we're talking with guys about that. They're already looking at exempt structures for farms.
Maybe she could provide you with a number of people that were interested in it.
Anything.
I'll send you an email.
Okay.
Thank you.
More than happy.
That.
Yeah, and we're happy to come to the table to provide presentations on, you know, the landowner feedback that we have so far, the interest in this, and the challenges that arose during our conversations with Thurston County Emergency Management, too.
Yeah, and who in the county, was that the building department this is?
Emergency Management.
Which one?
Emergency Management.
Emergency Management?
Mm-hmm.
They don't like farm
pads. No, it's flooding. That's what they're concerned about.
Right, it's their zero rise analysis policy for structures in the floodway.
So this might be the wrong place for this question, but instead of building up, why not have drainage? Is that more expensive or out of the question engineering-wise? Or
I'll answer
like
that.
A pad is...
If you have a whole farm in a floodway,
mm-hmm.
and then it just floods fine all years except for the 100-year,
yeah.
and then it comes up and floods the whole place, you can't drain.
So even if the valley or the dip or the bowl or whatever, I mean, it must have a natural way that it drains somewhat. That couldn't be
just too much water.
Take it from the center.
Too much water.
It would naturally be a floodplain.
It drains when it's over.
Yeah, I worked on jails for years and years until recently. And my understanding of the farm paths was that they would dig the soil in the same site. So mm-hmm. basically, it would create a little pond.
Yeah, it's still mm-hmm.
So it's like a net offset. But I was just thinking that I don't know if you, some have already been built. So I don't know if you've been able to show people examples of what they look like. Does that help at all? Because sometimes people just see it and go, oh, yeah, I get it. You know, cows like they sit on top of the mound. So.
Yeah, we did have that specific discussion with examples provided from Lewis and Grace Harbor counties, and we did talk about, you know, the soil is, there's a hole dug here right next to it, the mound is created, right, so you're just moving sediment from one spot to the other. The justification that we got from staff at emergency management was that once those initial floodwaters come in, they fill up the hole, and then act almost like an impervious surface, and so any additional floodwaters that come in behind that are further displaced by the mound. That was the explanation that we got with a nice diagram on the board. I think that they're looking for somebody to prove through a model, through a zero or some sort of zero rise analysis study, that it doesn't displace any water. But they were saying that even, you know, an additional inch of displaced flood waters is not, I mean, zero rise analysis, so no change.
What are the Lewis County and Grace Harbor paths show? Do they show that to be true?
I don't know if anybody has done a zero rise analysis study on the farm paths in those counties because they don't have any permitting issues with it, right? So.
Okay, we need to move along.
So this is listed as an action item. What did you want us to do on this, A?
Well, so the board approved and adopted a budget in December of 2017 that we're operating on. Things have changed quite a bit since then, and so staff had just said that we would bring a revised 2018 budget to the board once sort of the dust has settled. And so January was that month where the dust was settling. We didn't have a capital budget, then we did. This is how we're dealing with the fallout of raising charges. And then the Shellfish Protection District Fund work program, you know, was approved almost in its entirety. And so this is really just what we're looking at as far as an actual operating budget for the rest of 2018.
And you would need approval by the board to spend the additional money that you've gotten from December, correct?
I mean, I think it would be a good idea for us all to see this and know that this is the funds that we have in hand that we're working with. Yeah, I think it would be good to have an approval of this sort of revised budget because these are this is what we have in actuality.
Well, I don't see any money. I can't support the budget until we find money for an executive director. So I wouldn't be able to support this revision.
Well, and just really quick, we have to look at the fact that we have two open positions now as well.
Yeah, we're going to save some.
Are you saying that money from those positions could be used?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that we have two open positions, so that's something else we need to look at as well.
Looking for comments.
Well, maybe we could come back to it because you have executive director recruitment plan on the agenda. As far as funding, I mean, historically, the executive director has been paid with assessment funds, like 85-90% of that position, so.
If Sarah's acting in that capacity, how are we paying her?
She is being paid from assessment residual from last year, and from grants, where she's still has outreach responsibilities to supervise and fulfill.
Okay.
that?
It's line 11 in the budget.
Thank you, Doug.
And dollars are line 33, column B.
What did you say?
Column E, line 33.
Well, that's outreach specialist.
That's what her position still is.
Right. And then, and so there's 20,000 for managing?
In district operations.
So there was a recommendation by staff to continue on and come back to this?
If you wanted to discuss the recruitment plan for an executive director before approving this budget,
that'd probably be a better idea.
Okay.
And then what about this whole policy, I guess we don't have yet, for reimbursing supervisor travel? Was that supposed to be in there somewhere?
There's no policy, so then there's no, so typically board supervisors were reimbursed through assessment money as well.
Oh.
And since there's no money.
Or policy.
And there's no policy.
There is a policy.
Well, there's a policy, it's just really, really vague.
That was the next policy in our subcommittee
agenda.
Yeah,
I haven't quite got to that yet, so kind of need to maybe do that first. Have a policy?
Yeah.
Okay, so does that take us to C, executive director recruitment plan?
Well, I haven't had time to look at this in detail. I don't know if anybody else has.
Well, we're moving it down the road.
How far?
Until
a work session?
Until at least we get a travel reimbursement policy.
So let's go to, I saw one of the staff halfway nod their head to go to executive director recruitment plan. What the board thinks.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, so let's go with the executive director recruitment plan. What are we going to do? Who's got thoughts? Linda, you got some thoughts?
Well, I was just thinking we could get a manager, like an office manager type, that wouldn't cost really a lot in comparison with the pay scale over here. That could be temporary, or it could work into, I saw a diagram somewhere along the way where there was a manager underneath the executive director who could take over a lot of Sarah's duties, freeing up her time where she wouldn't need to, I guess there's some issue about overtime and call time and all that.
So if we look at this, if we look at the way the budget's laid out right now, we've got about $21,000-ish available to pay said manager.
Coming from where you're taking.
If you look at line 33,
yeah.
That's the money that's been allocated to Sarah.
Yeah.
For this year's residual, basically assessments.
On a monthly basis.
No, that's the one. That's for the year.
Oh, for the year. Okay. But we're not using that for her.
Well,
we
you're saying to alleviate her duties as this position. So what I'm saying is if you're looking for a manager, basically the funds we have available for that to alleviate them from Sarah's duties is about $21,000 for the remainder of the year.
Mm.
So I don't know what type of manager we would find for March through December for $21,000. I think that any manager that has any type of experience is going to be without a comp rate for just a salary is probably going to be about $60,000 a year.
At least.
Mm-hmm. And so then with their comp rate, that puts them at about 90-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So the comp rate is, I don't know, I'm sure it's been explained to you. It's a layer.
Benefits
and it's retirement and medical and all of that stuff incorporated into one wage.
Insurance mm-hmm. that the district has to pay.
Yeah, so it's a lot of layers. So if we're looking for a manager, we're probably going to spend about $90,000 a year for someone that's qualified to just be a business manager, if that's what you're looking for. So we're going to have to, there's not going to be, we're not going to have, we can't pull from grants to pay for an office manager. So basically we can only pull from this line E and go from there.
Well, where would we cover another TSP from?
TSP.
Another specialist, resource specialist.
Yeah, to replace Robin.
That would be from the grants that Robin was already allocated to livestock TA. You know, we have a lot of technical deliverables sort of spread throughout a lot of the grants in the middle here. So shellfish, we have some TA. Both of our NTAs that we are getting, both through the county and through the Department of Health, have technical deliverables. And then, our livestock grant. I think those are the ones that Robin was mostly responsible for. And so with that position, we have sort of assessed internally what the most immediate and pressing deliverables are and projects where existing staff can take on, you know, fulfilling any of those responsibilities and those deliverables that need to be met in short term. I'm reaching out to other conservation districts in the area to see if there are specific deliverables that need to be fulfilled in the short term, where we may need to contract services to ensure that we fulfill those, with the expectation that towards the end of this year, hopefully, we can hire and replace, second half of 2018, we can hire a replacement for Robin's position.
On the management side, didn't somebody say that there was a management company that could come in for so much an hour?
My neighbor was talking to me about it. There is, I think they call them headhunters, some kind of organization, but it's not a flat fee like I thought. It's depending on what you want in that, you know, qualifications. So basically, we'd need a job description, and then they'd see, you know, what they had.
So you don't know what, who had their hand up first? Okay, put them down and then do it again. Whoever.
If you feel strongly about having this, just an idea, but having a management role, I think one of the only options we have is to maybe bring someone from another CD, like on a super part-time contracted basis, to help out with management stuff. But I think the reality of hiring somebody is, like, we can start in the summer to update the job description and be ready to hire somebody in January. But that's, I think, the best we're going to do for a permanent position.
So
when we have rates and charges.
And basing that on when rates and charges and goes into effect.
Yeah.
But you know, even if you hired in January, you aren't going to get any money in January.
We'll still get monthly. Well, sorry.
But if it just happens in January, then they don't collect anything until
April.
So it's going to be in the middle of the year.
Yeah. So there's that.
Go ahead.
So just to key in a little bit to what Amy just said, the piece of work that you can do now to prepare you to recruit for an executive director is to review the job description and update it to what you really want that person to be. Because who knows when a bucket of money might fall into the district's lap, right? You would be ready. You would know what kind of person you wanted. And then at that point, you could talk about how much money do you have to pay this person, what sort of timeline. You could do the job description piece first and the seek the funding to pay the person piece second, and explore the option that Linda brought up and explore the option that Amy brought up. Once you know what you want, then you can start shopping that around to fill those needs. So I would suggest you take a look at the job description, do that piece of work first, and then you'll be ready to find funding and to find the right person to fill those needs.
Could currently isn't the job, I don't know, I don't think it's a technical job description, but the duties and the policies and procedures for the acting executive director is sort of a job description.
Nope, there should be a real job description for executive director.
Okay,
there is.
There is.
And do we have one already?
Yeah.
Somewhere that we want to look at? I'd like to see a job description for all of the positions, actually, because I guess I haven't asked formally. I don't know.
You did ask for it, and I mentioned it, I think, in our action item report that staff's working on compiling. I just haven't got to that yet. I apologize. But compiling those and sending out staff job descriptions to the board so you can see what everybody's position is responsible for.
That would be helpful, I think. So should we have that on the agenda for next time, is to talk about job descriptions?
For the executive director?
Yeah. And then I have a question, sort of basic. For this chart, so we have all of the staff listed over here on the left, and then the comp rate. The next column is, like, that's the annual amount that person gets?
No.
That's the annual amount that person costs us.
Including the comp rate. I mean, including the comp rate and everything,
yes.
That's
yeah.
What they are. And so how do the rest of these columns relate to that going across this way?
So the top portion of the grid is hours. So the first one there is my hours, 150 hours. See that?
Column E.
So
150 hours for
line
district.
5, column E.
Oh, these are hours. Okay, got
so
it.
So that's hours on the top.
These hours. Even though this
how about
is
the watermark behind it for the
hours.
Next time? Hours.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's hours.
So then hours times my comp rate, projected comp rate, my 27, that's the cost. Those are dollar amounts on the bottom grid.
Okay, and so the person whose line it is, say 33, all of these bits of money across here all add up to their column D. And that's where all the bits come from, is that
that's
fair?
The total cost. So that's
okay.
Gross pay plus the district's, you know, required payroll liabilities, taxes.
Yeah, I understand
benefits.
That for column D, but I'm just trying to figure out where all the bits of money come from that make up that number. And so most of these are grants, except operations is not a grant.
Right.
But all the rest of these are grants?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, I am really glad that you asked about column D and the FTE costs, Linda, because something that I have heard a lot of misinformation about is that folks take the column D amounts and they say, look at this individual salary, is this dollar amount? And that's just incorrect information because those are not salaries in column D. Those are what it costs the district to house that employee and all of the associated expenses of having an employee.
Mm-hmm.
And is that what it would be if they were a one FTE?
Yeah.
Right.
So for some of us, like myself, we're not a full FTE, so we're not even that amount.
We had this discussion before, though. Like on my farm, when somebody shows up, there's somebody there, I'm writing a check for them to be there. If they're not there, I'm not. So I look at what the total cost is to have that person there. So that's your comp rate.
So
I understand the
comp rate, okay, so if you're paying your employees an hourly wage, but you're not paying L&I and Social Security and
which we are.
Okay, so if you're paying your employee $10 an hour, they actually cost you $15 an hour.
Right, that's our comp rate.
Okay, so this is these people's comp rate. So, you know, resource specialist A could make $20 an hour, but costs us $28 an hour.
Right. We're agreeing. It's just that we're disagreeing the fact that I view these as a total cost on my operation, which should be viewed as a total cost to the district.
It is a total cost to
right.
the district, but it's not a salary.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that is not a take-home salary.
That's not their salary.
The way of doing it for government is this
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to agree to disagree.
Well,
again.
No. It's the difference is that this is not their salary. This is what they cost the district. So this is what they cost your farm, but this is not what they bring home.
Right. It's their pay and benefit package.
Exactly.
our benefit package is like a third of the.
More like 50%.
50?
Just to clarify, because I'm looking at the hours, because I just realized I didn't know what the top was. I thought it was money too, but it's hours. So when you look at the totals, the people who were 19-20 hours would be full time, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are less than 19-20, that represents people who are working part time.
Right.
And I don't know how your structure is set up, but I think with the state, it's like you have full time people, part time people. Some people are salaried, and some people are overtime exempt, overtime eligible.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that. Mm-hmm. And then you've got people maybe in project positions, intermittent positions. Because what you were talking about paying, your equivalent would be like somebody who's in an intermittent position or not call position, where they might be just brought in to work for a little while. But the position have to be established. I assume being a government agency, you have to kind of set up the position to be one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just kind of flop it around. I mean,
right.
They could be overtime exempt salaried, or they could be hourly wage, they could be intermittent on call, but that all has to be set up in advance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Well, Richard's tapping out here as he's stating, he says, so. I don't think we're getting anywhere, really.
I think that it might be important to do the executive session before everyone does.
Okay, so, you want to just jump to that?
Yep, I think we should.
What do you need for acting executive director compensation and evaluation? What do you need there?
That was a request.
Yeah, that was one I brought up. I brought it up two or three times.
The acting executive director.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think the issue is she's working way above her pay grade, and I've heard nothing but complimentary things from in-house and outside, and I think we need to give Sarah some sort of bonus or a merit increase or something, plus evaluation, so she kind of knows what her future is. You know, the timeline with the executive director recruitment will have something to do with that.
Well, you're going to need to probably talk about that in executive session, huh? She's nodding her head.
Performance evaluation is an executive session.
She, in her normal life, would the PEPIN do for an evaluation in January, so.
Normal?
What is that?
As an outreach specialist and not an acting ED.
Okay, well, executive session next time, or?
No, I think.
No, I mean for
oh,
Sarah.
You mean as well as.
For Sarah?
No. I thought we were going to do 10 minutes and
we
just
are.
See.
Yes. We are with Sarah.
Yeah.
But on this line, E will be without Sarah in the room to start with.
What Eric is saying is to talk about the acting executive director compensation and evaluation as an executive session at the March meeting.
Okay.
To follow up on that line item. But yes, we'll move into the executive session that the board added to
the
agenda.
Thank you.
Okay.
See? Great work, she does.
Okay, so let's go ahead and do that. Move into the executive session.
And I would like to request that Amy Franks participate in the executive session as our human resources staff member. The board is okay with that.
And I suggest Shauna, too, because she's got a background in this stuff.
I don't know. I think we should just go with Sarah to start with. She pitched this as a starting session.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate to have our human resources perspective here, though, on this one.
I think she's the one that's delivering the complaint that her input probably matters. And if assuming that Amy's already involved in this. So
okay, no disrespect to Shauna, then let's just stay with the two then.
Well, let's have a vote on it. I think Shauna should be here.
Okay.
Crap. Okay, hang on. Just tell me what to do before I get up.
Okay.
I think that Shauna's out of a lot of benefits, a lot of insights.
Okay, well, this is the starting. She can come in afterwards. Okay. I agree. So I don't mean overrunning. Go ahead.
Well, you just did.
I know. I'm sorry. That's why I'm apologizing.
So, yeah, no, I think that Shauna has a lot of valuable insight into HR stuff. I mean, I do as well, but I'm just, you know.
Okay.
It's an executive session where
she can. You want a motion, or what do you want? Just a general consensus, though? What?
I don't feel strongly one way or the other.
Executive session with, so how do you want to do it? So, I say executive session with Sarah only, but I'll agree to Amy, so I want to do that and say, I want to exclude Shauna.
I'd like to do an executive session.
I put a motion that we do an executive session with Sarah and Amy only. Is there a second?
I don't think you can. I think that it would be general consensus of having a conversation.
Okay.
To have the executive session be with district staff and employees. Or district supervisors and employees.
Okay. So I say that. I vote for that only.
What? Guys.
Oh, you can't
say. It's not a motion.
You can't sit here all day.
So there was a motion put on the floor. Is there a second?
It's not a motion.
I know. He made a motion. If there's no second, it dies.
Okay.
It's dead.
Uh-oh.
Tell you what, I have to go to the bathroom, so y'all keep fighting over it for the next 10 minutes if you want to, but I will be
perfect.
Back.
Thank you, Shauna.
Do it.
You'll be there all night.
Okay.
All right. All right. We're going to be starting executive session.
Okay.
Okay.
Check out.
We'll come back at...
Give her some time to get out. Set 6:07. So we're going at 6 as soon as she walks out.